Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Beltham, and I'm very happy to welcome back DC Anderson. Hey, DC, how are you?
Good. Good to see you again, Donald.
DC was on just a few months ago, and we were playing songs from and hearing all about his new album called Songs Stay Sung, which came out at the beginning of June on LML Music. Congratulations again on that fantastic album. What's the feedback been like since it came out?
It's been really good. If you go by Spotify numbers, they're actually usually the top 10 songs listed under me are from the soundtrack. I can't believe I was about to say soundtrack. The original cast album of Queen of the Mist, which I'm so proud to be a part of. And luckily that's a popular show to be listened to. So to have songs that are on my personal albums, to crack that list feels good. So there's like four or five of those. And then I've been releasing a couple of singles. I can't seem to keep my mouth shut about what's going on in terms of the country. So I've been writing some songs dealing with that. And some of those are in those top 10. So that's nice to see. And people have gotten a couple, nice reviews, and people have written to me and said they like it. So I'm very proud of this. I'm proud of them all, but this one, I'm super proud of.
Well, great. That's wonderful. And the reason that DC is back, because when he was here last time, I gave him a homework assignment and said, if you want to come back, I oftentimes have performers and people behind the scenes come back, and they come back with their 12 favorite show tunes, which is not always an easy homework assignment. Some people are they're very little cocky, and they go, oh, well, that's easy. I can do that. No problem. And then, of course, I get an email from them later saying, this is hard. How do I cut this down to 12? And my list keeps changing every day. Or they get a final list and they go, oh, my God, I'm looking at this list. And what does it say about me as a person? All the songs are really sad, like songs about losing love. And oh, my God, they're all like really depressing. And I just tell people, look, you go with your gut, you go with the songs you like, and the listeners enjoy it because it tells a lot about you, and it tells a lot about what you're attracted to in a song. And sometimes they're songs from your past and maybe the first show you were in. And so there could be any reason you pick your 12. So you sent me your list from a wide variety of sources, because as I tell people, you don't have to pick an original cast recording. You can pick it has to be from a stage show. You can't pick a movie song. It has to be a theater song. But you can pick any version you want from any cast recording you want, like a vocal cover version of it. It can be any version of it you want, except it cannot be you singing it. I prefer people to not do that. So you sent me your list, and I gathered all the different selections. So we've got the 12. And where are we going to start?
We're going to start with Carmen Cusack singing You Don't Know This Man from Parade. When I saw Parade, it happened to be the night before I had seen the movie The Thin Red Line, which is a Terrence Malick film. Terrence Malick's one of my favorite filmmakers. And at the end of that show, the showing of it was at the Ziegfeld Theater, huge theater, sold out. Someone stood up just as the credits started to roll and screamed, I want my night back. And I was like, holy moly. I found it to be a very incredibly moving experience, the film. And so when I was watching Parade, the reason I bring that up, at the end of Parade, I was walking out and there was someone behind me walking out of the theater saying, well, that was a waste of my night. And I thought, I had been incredibly moved by the piece and stunned by it in so many ways. The story is so rich in the writing and the performances, and so those two things are connected for me in that they were very powerful pieces, and they had very specific things to say, and I think sometimes that's what makes a song or a show really work for me, something that really gets in. And Carmen Cusack is from a performance she did in maybe 54 Below or something.
Yeah, I think it's 54 Below. Yeah.
54 Below. She moves me so much, so sometimes some of these I chose because it's a performer that I just cannot get enough of, and then I picked my favorite song of them singing it. So mm-hmm. so in a way it made it a little easier mm-hmm. for me because I was looking at this list this morning and I thought, you know what, there's the theme behind all of these songs is that in performances make me cry.
Oh, you know, there you go.
I realized that's what it is. It's in Carmen Cusack, "You Don't Know This Man." Just listen. It's, I love her.
Yeah, she's an incredibly unique performer.
Yes,
who it doesn't matter what role she plays. It can be a standard musical theater role, mm-hmm. but she brings such a different perspective to it and a different angle or depth to it that right. it catches you off guard. I mean, the first time I saw Carmen was in the national tour of the Lincoln Center Revival of South Pacific, she was playing Nellie in that tour, and I had never seen her before. I didn't know who she was, and I was just, and I've seen God knows how many productions of South Pacific, and I was just shocked because she brought such a totally different feel to Nellie. I mean, she was mm-hmm. still Nellie Forbush, but there was something different about her. And then, of course, I saw her in Bright Star and was completely blown away by her performance. And then I saw her in Flying Over Sunset. And she's just one of those really incredibly uniquely gifted performers. Who
she's playing Christine in Phantom of the Opera yeah. and Elphaba in Wicked.
Yeah.
I don't know any other person who is on both of those. And that it's in their voice. It's just yeah. to sing it.
And she's got Bull Durham coming up. She's yes. starring in Bull Durham. So that's going to be, I'm looking forward to hearing how that goes. But we are going to hear the first of D.C. Anderson's 12 favorite show tunes from Parade, "You Don't Know This Man," performed. It's a live performance by Carmen Cusack. So your next one is an interesting pick. Tell us about this one.
This is from Andrew Lippa's The Wild Party. I'm a fan of both Michael John Lacusa's and Andrew Lippa's Wild Party. And this one has to do with the performer. Hollis Resnick is a singer and actress who had her entire career in Chicago, Illinois. She did role after role. She has played Margaret in the Light in the Piazza. She has played Ava Perón. She has played in The Little Shop of Horrors, Audrey. She worked constantly in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 6 years and got to do Harry Chapin, Lies and Legends with her. And then she and I and an actress named singer Susan Hart, we formed a vocal trio, and we used to sing on off nights at this place called Orphans. But on her album, I loved her performance of The Life of the Party, which is one of my favorite songs from The Wild Party. And I just thought I wanted to share her performance of that piece because I think it's so rich.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best. It's one of the best songs from the score. Mm-hmm. And it's a great, well, it's a great intro to the show.
I mean, yes.
How do I put this? I saw both the Lipa and the Lacusa Wild Party.
Was one of them more
well, I saw them in the same day because they they overlapped. A brief time they overlapped in New York. One was off Broadway. Yeah. Lipa was off Broadway and Lacusa was on Broadway. And I timed it so that I saw the Lipa at a matinee and then I saw Lacusa that night. And I saw it with the same people. I went with a couple of friends and we saw both shows. And it was just really interesting to see them both in the same day. I mean, the general consensus with us was that there wasn't enough there to make a musical. None of us really felt that the original material was meaty enough to really build a musical around. And we felt that both shows were lacking because they were trying to stretch material that wasn't stretchable. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like you're spending an evening in both cases, you're spending an evening or a party with a bunch of characters who are really not very nice people. And it was sort of like, you just didn't like anybody. I mean, hardly anybody was a likable person. And so that made it difficult. And they were sort of disconnected stories and they became sort of little vignettes and little scenes all kind of strung together. And it didn't really always work. But it was just interesting for us. It was sort of like we had this dream cast where we were like, we would love to have the Queenie from this cast with the Burr from that cast. In other words, we kind of like put our own Wild Party show together and said, well, we'd like the opening song from this one and this character song from that one and mixing the actors to create the like perfect cast. Cause it was just interesting because you had like in both casts, you had some of the greatest New York theater talent in both shows. Yeah. I mean, it was just amazing who you had. And it was just really weird experience to see both of them at the same time. Just amazing.
Go ahead. I was going to say, wouldn't it be nice? I know on Horace at City Center is doing Lacusa's Wild Party this year. Wouldn't it be nice if they would have done both of them, like one night, one the other?
You could do them in rep, and you could use the same cast. I mean, it would be a lot of work for the cast because they would have to learn two different scores and remember which score you're doing which night. Or you could do one week and then take a week off and do the other one the next week with the exact same cast just to see how they would play. Because it was very interesting. I mean, this was definitely The Life of the Party was definitely one of the real highlights of the Lipa Wild Party. So we're going to hear it right now. From Hollis Resnick's Make Someone Happy album. Here is Hollis Resnick with The Life of the Party.
Who needs money? Not me. Who needs fortune or fame? I don't need a new career, a sympathetic ear, a name. All I need is time to play. Only want the game. Point me to the mic. I know what I like. don't you wanna be the life of the party? Don't you wanna be the cream of the crop? Don't you wanna feel those shivering fits till someone calls it quits? Till someone calls a cop? Oh, don't you wanna laugh the role of a lifetime? Well, you better get down on one knee. You can play the life of a party if you can pray with me. Who needs lovers? Not I. Who needs heaven above? Don't have time for things unsaid, for bacon. For love, all I need is a room to fight, hand in fisty glove. Point me to the sky, it's my turn to fly. Don't you wanna be the life of a party? Don't you wanna be the top of the heap? This is where the jamboree never ends. Why not be counting friends instead of counting sheep? If you wanna join the heavenly choir, well, you better get yourself in line. 'Cause don't you pass the life of a party until you pass the wine.
So what is your third choice? We're not doing these in any specific ranking or anything, but we're just going
right,
to do them in the order you sent them to me.
Those third choices. I worked with this singing actress named Wendy Coates, who recently passed. She was, what they say, diminutive. She was, I think, 4'8", and that's how tall she grew. I got to do Pimp Up and On the Road with her, and she played Thea instead of Theo. Mm-hmm. And I've always admired her as an actress. I saw her do many roles after that. Everything from things like Lady Bracknell to, you know, just so many different things that she got to do or did readings of. And her album, she's got an album that is a collection of show tunes that she always had wanted to sing. And I think her performance of Look What Happened to Mabel is so fresh. And that's how I felt about everything Wendy sang. And I, one of the things I've mentioned my friend Wendy often when I talk about cabaret and when I talk about not the show, but performing in cabaret rooms, that she hit the nail on the head one time when she hadn't been able to perform for a couple of years because she was doing this outside job that took a lot of her time and she wasn't able to put together a cabaret show. And one day she said to me, If I don't sing some songs soon, I will, and she screamed it, not be responsible for my actions. And I just was like, whoa, I've never heard it put that way. But mm-hmm. when someone says, well, now why would I do a cabaret show? I said, you would do it because there are songs that if you don't sing soon, you will not be responsible for your actions. And so this was a combination of just my admiration for Wendy and my admiration, of course, for the song. Jerry Herman, I love him as a songwriter. And I think this is, like I said, it's just so fresh. And I wanted to share it because of the freshness of it.
Yeah. And I like it because it's also not a song from Mac and Mabel that a lot of people pick.
Right.
And it's not a song that a lot of people are that familiar with. Mm-hmm. From Mac and Mabel, but it's one of my favorite of the songs that Mabel sings. So yeah. We're going to hear it right now. It's Wendy Coates singing Look What Happened to Mabel.
See that fascinating creature with perfection stamped on every feature. She was plain little Nellie, the kid from the deli. But Mother of God, look what's happened to Mabel. From now on, this pile of flesh will be considered something pretty special. And Miss BLT Down is the toast of the town. Mary and Joseph, what happened to Mabel? Every gesture and position that she takes is smart and meticulous. Talk about the magic that the camera makes. But this is ridiculous. Hold your tongues and hold your snickers, for the new enchantress of the flickers is that plain little Nellie, the kid from the deli. Rattle me be. Busting her bodice, jumping St. Jude. Look what's happened to Mabel.
So next up, you have a song from a writer who, if people delve into my archives, they will see that I had this particular writer on the show a while ago. But we can talk about that later. So talk about what your next selection was.
This is from the First Daughter Suite, which I believe the premiere was at the Public. That's where I saw it, at the Public, uh-huh. On Lafayette Street. And I found myself on my fifth visit. I don't usually do this. I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of money to spend on tickets. And so there I was on the way to the fifth visit, and I said to myself, what are you doing? And this voice came into my head and said, I want to be in its presence. And that to me is how I feel about so many shows. The First Daughter Suite, there was something about it that it just grounded me, the writing, the stories, the performances. I mean, we have here Mary Testa, Rachel Bay Jones, and Teresa McCarthy. You know, you really, you know, those three. I'm mm-hmm. doing it. This is Laura, No Tears. This was First Daughter Suite was a show about daughters of presidents. There was vignettes about Patty Davis. There were vignettes about Amy Carter. There were and this was. This was Mary Testa playing Barbara Bush, Rachel Bay Jones playing Laura Bush, and Teresa McCarthy playing. It turns out that there was a child that Barbara Bush had that passed away when she was very, very young. And it was an interesting story that they didn't want to tell George Jr. They basically had him, like, send him away while they dealt with all her death and everything. And so he didn't know for a while what happened to his sister. And I think I have that story right, but I know it was a very traumatic thing for him that was sort of glossed over because his parents didn't want him to be heard about it. I love in this piece the relationships. I wrote about this, that I love songs that literally they are the story. I know all songs are a story, but this song, this particular song, Laura/No Tears. Tells such a rich, I'm back with rich again, but a really beautiful story. And so I think I should shut up now and let it play.
No, let's hear it. No, let's hear it right now. Okay. From The First Daughter Suite by Michael John Lacusa. We're going to hear Mary Testa, Rachel Bay Jones, and Teresa McCarthy with Laura, No Tears.
Bar. Staff is packing for you. George ordered it.
An executive order from the president to his own mother. That's rich. Tell him I refuse to go.
Barr, you can't, and you know you can't. Okay. No. I'm not going in. I'm staying right here.
Tell her to leave.
I'm staying right here. Right here in the stupid cold. Looking at that stupid ocean with you.
Tell her this is our day.
And I'm not going in till you come to your senses.
Fine.
Well, I am.
Fine.
I'm gonna sit right here.
Suit yourself.
She can't. Tell her to go. Tell her, Mommy.
You know I don't like you smoking.
Well, I don't like you not smoking. I'm not a fan of these waters. They're mean looking. Imagine being out there, not in a boat or anything, just alone and all that cold, gray. I don't know, bigness. But then I think if I were out there, all alone, I'd sooner or later not care, just let whatever happens happen.
You'd drown.
I guess.
A miserable way to die.
But there must be some beauty in just letting go.
Giving up? I wouldn't. No surrender!
I think that letting go is different than giving up.
I'd fight to my last breath.
Of course you would. That's what you do.
The granite granny.
That's you.
Tell her to go.
Would you please go away?
You're impossible.
Laura, I didn't mean it the way it sounds.
I know.
I'm lying. I did mean it.
I know.
You're so easy. Why is that?
I'm not easy. I've got complications just like you and everybody else. I just don't get all bent out of shape about them anymore. Being married to George, well, it's easier to be easy about things. He's that way, so I can be too.
They hate him. They hate my son.
No. Not everyone.
He's so unpopular. I didn't raise my son to be unpopular. It must be very hard for you.
No, not at all. I love him. I stay out of the way. I try to make things easier for him. He loves me for that.
My husband and I have a different arrangement. There was and is love, but we worked together for the presidency. We won it together. We lost it together. And we got it back, didn't we? Oh, yes, we did. But now, everything we worked for, all of it undone, all of it obscured by a mediocre son.
What an awful thing to say. What a spiteful thing you are. You didn't raise him to be unpopular. You must be crazy. You never raised him. You ignored him as a child. You ignored him all his life. You never gave him the thing he needed most, the thing he starved for. You never praised him.
So
you wonder why he is the way he is. Look at yourself. You wonder why he does the things he does. Then ask yourself. You remember the day when your little girl died, but did you forget how you? Of his own tears.
Oh,
what an awful way to live. What an awful life you have. And I should hate you, but that's too good for you. You're too pathetic. You don't deserve my hate. So do us all a favor and go march into that water. Do it for your sons and for your one surviving daughter. Do President is running very late.
It's my day, Mommy.
Do
not
it.
Not George's, not hers.
Go on.
My day, remember?
What are you scared of? All smiles, good girl. Bright eyes that twinkled. Pink pudgy skin that wrinkled at the wrists and knees. When Robin got sick, we didn't let George see her. We didn't want him sad around her. No tears, George. No tears. And when she died on this day, 50 years ago, she died in my arms. My husband almost came apart, but I didn't let him. No tears, George. The next morning, we went out to play golf with my father. Didn't tell anyone. I imagine if someone saw us, they'd say, "What are you doing? Your daughter just died and you're playing golf?" No tears, look. No tears. Then we drove to George's school. He got into the back seat. We told him his little sister was dead. No tears, George. No tears. We left him with my parents and hurried back to Texas. Had to. For business. My husband's mother and a friend buried Robin. We forbade George to go to the funeral. No tears, George. No tears. And that's the way it was. And my hair went white. Maybe what we did, maybe how we did it, made him what he is. I don't really know. No tears.
I wasn't surprised you picked something by Michael John Lacusa. I was surprised you picked something from First Daughter Suite, because it's not always the first show people gravitate to when they think of his work. I mean, there's a lot of fans of Wild Party, which we talked about a few minutes ago, and there's a lot of fans of things like Hello Again and shows
Marie
like that.
Marie Christine,
which I saw Marie Christine on the same trip that I saw, not same trip I saw Wild Party. I think I saw it because they weren't playing at the same time. I saw it earlier in the season. But he was on the show to talk about Gardens of Annunzia. Mm-hmm. And I confess, and I've told people this before, I was nervous about having him on because I've not always been a huge fan, because some of his shows don't work for me, mm-hmm. and some of them have, but I've been to a lot of his shows and some of them just don't work for me. His style doesn't always work up with my ears. It just doesn't always work. And because he's incredibly prolific, and yes. he's different, and he's not into everyone's taste. And I was a little nervous about having him on. I will be honest with you. I was really nervous about having him. But I also said to the publicist when they offered him, I said, but I will have to admit that, you know, when at the end of the year, I always do my picks for my 10 favorite cast recordings. And several years ago, much to my surprise, my pick for one of my favorite cast recording of that particular year was Giant. Off-Broadway musical Giant, which I thought that score was amazing. I thought that
I
was like,
too.
I was so shocked because I was not a big Michael John Lacusa fan. And so I was really nervous having him on because I was afraid he was going to ask like what was my favorite show of his or whatever, and I didn't know what his personality was going to be like. And he turned out to be, as you can go back and listen to the archives because it's still in there, was like one of my favorite interviews. He was funny, he's smart, he's clever, he was absolutely delightful to talk to. He wasn't at all what I expected.
Really?
I mean, not at all. For someone who is an extremely eclectic writer, mm-hmm. and picks very eclectic material, he was so nice, so sweet, so funny, charming, smart, clever. He's a great interview subject. He's just so fun to talk to. And we had a great time. So I, you know, was kind of thrilled that you picked something by him.
I was
surprised.
But doing Queen of the Mist, that's how I got to know him. He was everything you as you described. It was a delight to be around. And don't you wonder why Giant hasn't been done in London, and why hasn't it been? I don't think it has.
I don't think it has. It's one of those ones that every once in a while it will pop up somewhere. I'll see something about it online where they're talking about, oh, they're doing some work on it, and they're hoping to like bring it back for a big full scale production. Because when you listen to it, you think to yourself, this belongs on Broadway. It belongs mm-hmm. in the West End. I mean, because Giant is, let alone the title, but Giant is major scope. It's an epic
yes.
show. I mean, it's based on a novel that was turned into a very big movie, and it's kind of epic in scope, and it really, and the score is gorgeous, and it kind of belongs on a Broadway stage or on a West End stage. It's kind of that kind of show. And so I've always been really surprised why it just hasn't, I mean, of course I haven't seen it and I haven't read the script, so I don't know exactly if there's issues with it, but
I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I mean, I heard nothing but great things about it, so I've been surprised that it hasn't been developed further, or if it's just real slow going and it will eventually pop up somewhere and somebody will get their hands on it, you know, the right director will get their hands on it and turn it into something, because I think it's one of those hidden gems.
Yep.
So, and speaking of hidden gems that have been dug up and brought to Broadway,
yes,
let's talk about the next show.
Floyd Collins and mm-hmm. Teresa McCarthy again. Teresa
yeah.
McCarthy's voice is when I listen to her sing, it's so beautiful. It just shimmers. her voice just shimmers. And she would, in First Daughter Suite, she was playing basically a child, a very young child who was like a ghost, mm-hmm. Who would talk to Barbara Bush, who would basically appear to her. Or, you know, Barbara Bush would be thinking about her on the anniversary of her passing. And here she is singing Through the Mountain. That is such a gorgeous song. I like the score. I like Adam Gettle. I love the score to Floyd Collins. I got to hear some music from the new one coming out? Miracle?
No, oh, Millions.
Millions.
Yes.
Millions. I got to hear some of the music years ago. He did a concert at NYU of mm-hmm. some songs from his upcoming shows, and he did songs from Days of Wine and Roses and Songs from Millions. Millions is one of my favorite movies, so I'm looking forward to that. But I love mm-hmm. Adam Gettle's writing, and here's Tracy McCarthy singing the carnival from the carnival section Through the Mountain. But I don't mean to stop you from talking about it, because I realized the last one I sort of did.
No. That we're here to hear. We are here because I want you to talk about why you picked the song. And why you picked this version. And did you see the Broadway revival?
I didn't get to see this recent Broadway revival.
Although the cast recording, no, I did not. But I was in town. But I'm sort of the mode when I go to New York. It's usually not for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was only there for 5 days, and I tend to go during the busy spring season. Mm-hmm. Or if the fall is busy, I'll go during fall. And my focus generally tends to be with new shows. Mm-hmm. So I tend to, unless it's like a revival of a show I've never seen before, or a revival that is something I really feel like I need to see, mm-hmm. I'll go. But more often than not, I prioritize new material just because I want to see as much new stuff as I can. So. Yeah. Floyd Collins, I've seen Floyd Collins on stage. So mm-hmm. sort of like, I don't really need to see another production of Floyd Collins. So, and the cast recording just came out, which I have not quite listened to yet. Although I'm supposed to have someone involved with the show is supposed to be coming on the radio show in the coming week or so to talk about it. So yes, so that'll be happening. But we're going to hear right now, we're going to hear Tracy McCarthy singing Through the Mountain from the original off-Broadway cast of Floyd Collins.
I'ma walk you through the mountain on a bearskin rug, through the great halls you dream of and tell of so often. I'ma keep you just as warm as a good night. As we fall along the diamonds to the outside, you can take me on a tour of the Emerald Towers, to the spires of sapphires and waterfalls of crystal. We'll lay down to sleep with the chips on flowers. As we fall along the diamonds to the outside. Ooh, gonna get you out of there to a land of babies dancing with a banjo in the air. In the sky. Listen to me now. I'ma walk you through the mountain on a bearskin rug, through the great halls you dream of and tell of so often. I'ma take you by the hand, and with a gentle tug we'll be gone. We'll be long gone.
Okay, so talk to me about this next one. I was a little surprised by this one.
Oh, really? See, I enjoy chess.
Oh, I love the score. I think it's like my favorite. It's one of my favorite scores.
It is so rich. There I am with rich again. I only know four words. fresh and rich. It's rich. It's fresh. But Julia Murney, I guess I'm realizing that a lot of these songs I've chosen because of the way that the performer sings them. And so they become a favorite of mine because of what the performer does with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia Murney, she has a range. I think she could probably sing the bass solos in The Messiah, the holiday season, and then she would sing Coloratura at the Metropolitan Opera if they would give her a call, because her range is incredible. And also as an actress, I saw her in a play off Broadway about, she was the mother of an autistic son, and the poor woman, I came out, when she came out in the lobby, I just sobbing, and she had it like, oh, I think it's gonna be fine. But so what when I heard her sing Nobody's Side, I was like, this is one of my new favorites.
Yeah, so this is a YouTube grab, because she has not actually recorded the score, although that was it was a benefit concert production.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was for, but it was a benefit concert that people are still talking about, because I remember people talking about it, and they still talk about this cast because it was like an amazing cast. Yeah. And Julia was playing Florence in the mm-hmm. show. And she just like, and she's got the right, I mean, she's got the perfect voice to play Florence, because Florence is a very difficult role to sing. She's got a lot of singing to do in the show. And she's got to really be able to belt the hell out of these songs.
Yes. I mean, she just wails. And there, and another Julia Murney YouTube thing is to listen to her sing People from Funny Girl. She did that in a concert and wiped me away. So anyway.
Yeah. So you need to go search for, you're going to hear it right now, but you're going to search for the concert, benefit concert of Chess with Julia Murney. And she's going to be singing Nobody's Side right now.
You know that there's nothing I've done that he'd be ashamed of in my whole life. Why'd I have to do this to me? What's going on around me is barely making sense. I need some explanations fast. My present partner in the imperfect tense, and I don't see how we can last. I feel I need a change of cast. Maybe I'm on nobody's side. And when he gives me reasons to justify each move, they're getting harder to believe. I know this can't continue. I still have a lot to prove. There must be more I could achieve, but I don't have the nerve to leave.
Everybody's playing the game, but nobody's losing his name. Nobody's on nobody's side. Better off than going alone. Recognize you're out on your own. Nobody's on nobody's side.
The one I should not think of keeps rolling through my mind, and I don't want to let that go. No lovers ever faithful, no contract truly signed. There's nothing certain left to know. And how the cracks begin to show.
Never make a promise.
Nobody's on nobody's side.
So what would be any of my guests' 12 favorite show tunes without a little Sondheim and or a little bit of Barbara Cook?
Right.
Because
that voice.
Yeah. And one of the things, and it's so funny because I can't remember where I was reading it recently that it came up, and I don't remember if it was in the liner notes for this particular album, but it was somewhere where they said, they pointed out, which I pride myself on being, you know, a theater historian in some ways and familiar with a lot of stuff, but it never really dawned on me or really, because she became, you know, in her later years, Barbara Cook became such a fantastic interpreter of Sondheim songs. Mm-hmm. And she did Sondheim on Broadway and mm-hmm. in the cast. But we all tend to forget that, you know, she won her Tony Award for The Music Man as Marvin. Marion the Librarian, which was the same season as West Side Story, which was Sondheim.
Yes.
And it's so interesting that, you know, here she was playing, you know, the perfect Broadway ingenue role in a sort of relatively traditional Broadway musical, although I think Meredith Willson, Music Man, is much better than a traditional Broadway musical. Uh-huh. But it was up against a real groundbreaking, you know, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim, West Side Story, which, you know, and those two were, you know, a lot of people forget that Music Man won the Tony for Best Musical and West Side Story didn't. But you had them on kind of opposite sides of the spectrum. You had Music Man kind of representing the golden age of musicals and West Side Story, the kind of new emerging cutting edge of Broadway musicals. But in later years, Barbara Cook and Sondheim became so overlapping, you know, and so interesting to see that. And I had totally forgotten about that.
Barbara Cook. That was the first musical record I ever heard was The Music Man, and I fell in love with that voice. And would even, you know, go to the library. Wasn't she in Flahoolie?
I think
that was the I took that out of the library. It was like, you know, 10, and I'm listening mm-hmm. to Flahoolie, you know. And Malcolm Getz does a beautiful job in Sun in the Park with George here with her. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, it's Barbara Cook sings mostly Sondheim at Carnegie Hall is the album, which is one of the great Barbara Cook albums, where she's doing what she does best, being one of the best interpreters of song, period, mm-hmm. which is what she became, you know, after she finished doing musical theater, she became one of the best interpreters of song out there. And hearing her at Carnegie Hall with Malcolm Getz doing Move On from Sun in the Park with George. Perfect choice, right?
Yeah, what a song.
What a song, and what an amazing performer.
I have nothing to say.
You have many things.
Well, nothing that's not been said.
Said by you, though,
I do not know where to go.
And nor did I.
I want to make things that count. Things that will be new.
I did what I had to do.
What am I to do?
Move on. Stop worrying where you're going. Move on. You can know where you're going. You've gone. Just keep moving on. I chose and my world was shaken. So what? The choice may have been mistaken. The choosing was not. You have to move on. Look at what you want. Not at where you are, not at what you'll be. Look at all the things you've done for me. Opened up my eyes. Taught me how to see. Notice every tree.
Notice every tree.
Understand the light.
Understand the light.
Concentrate
I
on
wanna love. Move on. I want to explore the light. I want to know how to get through to something new, something of my own. Move on.
truly do. You keep moving on. Look at what you've done.
Something in the light,
then
something in the sky,
not
in the grass,
what
behind the tree.
Look at all the things you've given me.
Things I hadn't looked at.
Let me give to you
flower on your hat and your smile.
I would be so pleased.
And the way you catch the light.
And we have more Sondheim.
Yep.
We do. So what is next?
No One Is Alone from Into the Woods. That song just wipes me out every time I hear it. So gorgeous. Witches can be right. Witches can be good. You decide what's right. You decide what's good. You know?
Uh-huh.
That song. And here we have Mimi Bassett, who has put out two albums, Broadway Lullabies is what she's put out. And her voice, another person who I just revel in her voice. And since I love No One Is Alone, and this is on one of her albums, I thought, this is a great opportunity for us to hear Mimi singing this particular beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song.
Right. And I love the fact that Sondheim is a lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen a couple of Sondheim songs appear on some lullaby albums. And this is one of the better versions, because I had not heard the Mimi Bassett version. And it's beautifully done. I mean, she does such a great job with this. So from her, what album is this from, actually?
Do we know? I think, I can't remember whether this is her first Lullaby of Broadway album or her second one. She did
right.
Lullabies of Broadway. She did two. The last one, the most recent one came out, I think, 2019, and the other one was out a little earlier.
Yeah, so look them up, because they're both really, they're delightful albums, beautifully
they
done.
Are.
So here is No One Is Alone from Into the Woods.
No one here to guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone. Sometimes people leave you halfway through the wood. Others may deceive you. You decide what's good. You decide alone. But no one is alone. People make mistakes. Make mistakes holding to their own, thinking they're alone. honor their mistakes. Everybody makes one another's terrible mistakes. Witches can be right, giants can be good. You decide what's right, you decide what's good. Just remember, someone is on your side, someone else is not. While you're seeing your side, maybe you forgot they are not alone. No one is alone. Hard to see the light now, just don't let it go. Things will come out right now. We can make it so. Someone is on your side. No one is
So next up, you have something very, very current, very recent. Yes. So tell us about this.
I was doing a reading in New York of a show that we got out of the rehearsal just in time to see Something. And I picked The Outsiders. I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't seen the movie. I hadn't read the book. And I picked The Outsiders and went, and just was another show that just wiped me out. Just so beautiful. And this song that is sung at the end of the show is, I can't stop. I don't really play the piano well, and I'm learning to play it on the piano so that I can sing it. But I'm a plunker, you know. But you know, you know that you like a song if you're not, you don't play the instrument and you sit down and start trying to learn it on the instrument.
Mm-hmm. And I also, that's also something I find with a lot of, especially singers who come on to do like their 12 favorite show tunes, is sometimes they'll suddenly say, this is a song I really want to sing. Uh-huh. Because I really want to learn this song because I really want to sing it. Or yeah. Because that shows me and it shows them that it's not that it necessarily like fits their voice or it fits into their repertoire, meaning, you know, it fits into whatever show I'm putting together. It speaks to them in some way. It speaks to them deeply somehow, or it has a message that really talks to them and fits their identity and fits their, you know, their thoughts, or has some sort of message in there that they really, you know, hook onto. And that always says something when a singer says, I really want to sing this song, mm-hmm. Then you know that's really important.
Yeah, yeah. And if I ever get a chance to do a Broadway miscast situation at any point, this is the song I will choose.
So from The Outsiders, currently playing on Broadway, here is Stay Gold.
I have had some time for thinking. Swore I wasn't ready to die. Turns out I was wrong. It might sound crazy, but hear me out. It may take me to the grave, but I know what your poem's about. I have seen a pool of blood run crimson red, And I've seen the sunrise coming overhead, finding beauty in the fall. It's the only way to keep from growing old, my friend. Stay gold when you're young and the world is new. It's easy to forget when you're trying just to make it through. Like the morning light and the dawn it brings, you see the world finding beauty in the simple things. I have looked into a thankful father's eyes, telling me I've saved his daughter's life. I do it all again, 'cause I found the beauty in the fold. My friend, stay gold. Looking back at the life I've had, I hold on to the good, 'cause I made my peace with all the bad. 16 years, look at all we've done. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Can't you see that we're the lucky ones? I have known a love that many never known, and that love lives on no matter where I go. We all will meet our end, no matter if we meet it young or old. My friend, stay gold.
There's still a lot of time to make yourself what you want, Pony Boy. There's still a whole lot of good in the world. Tell Dally. I don't think he knows.
Finding beauty in the fold, it's the only way to keep from growing old. My friend, stay gold. My friend, stay gold.
We are talking to DC Anderson about his 12 favorite show tunes. We have 3 more to go. And also want to remind you to check out DC's current album, Songs to Stay Sung, which is fantastic. Look for it on Spotify or any of your streaming services. But remember to buy a digital download, or that's where the money goes. We want to make sure you have purchase. Don't just stream, because that's not really a moneymaker. The moneymaker is a digital download, and it's a really wonderful album. It really is. It's terrific.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
So we've got one more song. We've got 3 songs to go. And we've got one more Sondheim song. So which Sondheim song is next?
This is Sunday. This and the next one are two basically. Well, this is the finale of Act One, isn't it? Sunday is, and the other one. The next one is from Candide, and those are 2 songs that whenever I get a chance to be in the chorus and sing these songs, my voice stops working midway through because I'm like sobbing. I'm a mess. So I had to put in a song. Like I said, most of these songs make me a mess. There's nothing like this song.
Yeah, it's a really deceptive song. I've always found Sunday to be incredibly deceptive because of it's a very simple, in some ways it's a very simple song. Mm-hmm. It comes across as a very simple song, and it builds very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
As it becomes then layers on itself. until you get this huge, I don't know how to describe it, this huge wave of sound. At the end of the song. And it just, it's one of the things, I mean, I've seen a lot of productions of Sunday in the Park. And it, one of the things I love about this moment and about the song is watching the audience and watching, especially because you can tell people who have never seen the show, is watching their response to the song, watching the response to the number, because it just is, because it just becomes a really emotionally overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I just saw it in Glimmer Glass, Marina Perez, and I forgot the name of the gentleman playing George. But they were both wonderful. She played Marina Perez, played Dot. And it was the same situation. But when that song was going on, all around us, people were just stunned. There was just this silence that just was taking this in. Oh, and I did want to say one thing. I've made a friend up here where I live. I live in Hudson Valley, and he's an artist. And we were talking about some of our favorite Broadway stuff. And I mentioned Sunday and Sunday in the Park. And he said, I met Stephen Sondheim years ago in New York City at a party, and we were talking, and he said, I'm writing a show about an artist. He said, and I've got this song, and I just want to know, like, what words would you say connect, you know, those first words that they use that end up with harmony that I can't remember what those words are right now, but he said, Stephen Sondheim took out a notepad and he said those things, you know. So told him those things, and he said a number of some of the things that he said ended up being a part of that list.
Right.
But I just thought it was interesting that he said, yes, I was talking to Sondheim, and he asked me what as an artist, what matters to me as far as mm-hmm. what putting is something on canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a little side
right.
note.
That's great. I mean, and it's so true, especially with this number, in terms of how the song is structured and how it's so beautifully put together. Little bits and pieces of it come together to build into this huge choral number.
Yeah.
That builds and builds and builds, just like the painting does. And mm-hmm. until you get this full picture and you get this full sound at the end.
Yes,
that just absolutely blows the audience away. It's and just
things about the dots, the bum, bum, bum,
yeah.
bum, 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 bum. It's just oh,
yep. So and the version you selected is from Sondheim, A Celebration at Carnegie Hall. So that is the version we're going to play right now. Here is Sunday by Stephen Sondheim.
Order, design. Balance, composition, harmony.
Thank you.
Now, you alluded to our next one a moment ago from Candide. And what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Make Our Garden Grow with these Scarlett Strallen and Julian Ovenden. Their voices are stunning. The orchestra, this was done in London. The orchestra is amazing. I'm so sorry that I didn't write down for myself the conductor. So, because it's, the orchestra is beautiful. The choir is a huge choir. Mm-hmm. And that's another one of those that once the choir is in,
this is the BBC Proms thing that they do. So you can find this was another YouTube grab, but this you can read, you can see on YouTube if you search for Candide and search for Make Our Garden Grow, BBC Proms, and you can see and hear the whole thing, because it's absolutely, and it's beautifully filmed, because they film it. It's a broadcast on the BBC, so it's absolutely gorgeous. And it is from Candide. So we're going to hear it right now.
Oh, questions.
So we have heard 11 of DC Anderson's 12 favorite show tunes, and we have one more to go. And yep. we've been talking about artists, obviously, yes. Because we were talking about Sunday in the Park with George, and we have another musical about an artist as your 12th song.
Lampica.
Uh-huh.
And Eden Espinosa singing Woman Is. When I saw the video that was the promo piece for this, I was so blown away. I don't know that Eden Espinosa would want me to tell this story, but she and I, we met back when she was 15 and I was much older, on the Scrooge McDuck float at Walt Disney over in Hollywood. As an actor, people said to me when I was younger, "You're a character man. You're going to work when you're 40. You're going to work. That's when you're going to work. But just up until then, good luck." I got lucky and worked from out of school. For the most part, worked from out of school till I was 40 years old. Then crickets for 3 years. So I went to audition to be in the Disney Christmas parade because I needed some money. And one of the things I always liked about myself is, I'll do what I need to do. I just, and I thought, be at Disney, be at, happiest place on earth, be at the Christmas parade. And there was Eden Espinosa at 15. And there we were on the Scrooge McDuck float singing Duck the Halls or Deck the Halls. We should have sung Duck the Halls, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
But we sang Deck the Halls. There we were doing, and so imagine my surprise when years later I saw her in Brooklyn. Was like, there she is from the Scrooge McDuck float. And anyway, I've always admired her. I admired her at that age, at 15. I thought, what an amazing voice and what a wonderful personality and what a just an energetic, charismatic human being. So when I saw this video and heard this, her singing this song, it just became another favorite song of mine, and this performance especially. Well, here we are.
Yep. So
did you see Lampica? Did you get to see it?
I saw it, interestingly enough, I saw it at La Jolla Playhouse.
Okay.
Before it went to New York. I saw it. It was about, I think it was a year and a half or 2 years, I think, before it was, because it had played back east, and it had played back east with Eden Espinosa and Carmen Cusack as the two female leads. And then it was about more than a year later, it played at La Jolla Playhouse, and Carmen was no longer with the show, but it was still Eden, and I saw it at La Jolla Playhouse. And then it took at least a year and a half, maybe two full years before it ended up on Broadway. So I saw it at La Jolla Playhouse.
Have you seen the video on YouTube of Carmen and Eden singing Stillness? Beautiful. Look that up.
I got to see it. I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted to see Carmen, because I heard Carmen was really, really wonderful in the show. So I was kind of disappointed I didn't get to see Carmen in the show.
Get to see it in Broadway. I've never seen the production of it, but just, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw that, but I wasn't in New York when it was, the spring that it was in New York on Broadway, I wasn't in New York, so I didn't get to see it. But I had already seen it in La Jolla. So, from what I read, it didn't sound like they had changed that much from La Jolla to Broadway. So most of the score seemed like it was pretty much the same. So, Eden's one of those, she's like this amazing singer who has this incredible energy on stage. Mm-hmm. She's like this dynamite energy on stage. And you can just kind of feel, I always say, one of the things that really separates people who are really going to make it on the stage is that they have to be unique in some way. And Eden is a very unique performer. She's got a certain specific quality about herself that it's like Carmen. Carmen also has a very unique quality. And that to me is what makes someone really a star to me, is they have to be really unique. They can't be someone you're going to mistake for someone else. Yes, you know what I mean?
And Eden has both effervescence and gravity about her. Those two things is everything in between. But but I've seen both of those things from her. In Gardens of Annunzia, she was wonderful on that.
Yeah. So here she is singing Woman Is from Lampica.
Woman is plain lines form. Woman is plain color light. Woman is speed, green shattered. Woman is powerful. Woman is shape, breath, form. Woman is bone, muscle, light. Woman is curve and shadow. Woman is beautiful. Black night. Bodies and breath, I am alive. Black water, roll me another one. Tobacco and opium, I am on fire. Please let me blow the smoke into your open mouth, here in the light. Woman is gone all night. Sneak past the room where my daughter sleeps, sleeping child. Woman is flesh, kiss, lifting. Here in the breathing dark, don't close your eyes. A painting is not a woman, or a war horse, or a glittering sky. A painting is canvas, pigment, plan and design, always design. Soft lips, your sharp teeth, feel your nails in my flesh, your light, your color, your pulse, your sweat, your speed, your muscle, your flesh, your skin, your bone, your shadow, your breath, your blood, your mouth, your cry shattered, your heartbeat, your heart, beat your heartbeat, your heartbeat, your heartbeat. Take on hair on the pillow.
please, let me watch you here. Don't wake up turning. Don't open your eyes.
Well, we have just heard DC Anderson's 12 favorite show tunes. Thank you for putting together the list. It was
You're welcome.
It was delightful to have you back.
Thank you for asking me to do this. Yes. It gave me quite an experience of listening to things. Because I don't sit down and listen to theater music or any music enough. Mm-hmm. Someone once said to me back in the 60s, are you a human being or are you a human Dewey? My mind was blown for a long time, and I was decided in the 60s and 70s that I was going to be a human being. But it turns out I've got this huge garden, and I'm mostly in it being a human doing. So the being is the guy that sits down and listens to the music that he loves. So this really gave me an opportunity, and I thank you for that opportunity.
Good. And if people want to keep track of you and follow you and see where you are going to be performing or making appearances, where can they find you?
At dcanderson.net.
Perfect. I will include that on the radio show page so people can just click on a link and a new window will pop open and there will be DC Anderson's website so they can find you.
Thank you, Donald. And what a delight to talk to you today. Thank you.
It was wonderful chatting with you again, too.